today on Real Radio.
I don't care if your building has got a cross or a steeple out on the top of it. The fact of the matter is your church, is your family, is your Christianity marked by going in the same direction that God is going? Look, if you're not going in the direction of God, you're not going anywhere.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter with a message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1. Now, the Apostle Peter, of course, was a disciple of Jesus Christ, who later on became the leader of the first church. His message of encouragement, hope, and practical Christian living transcends throughout the ages. He is the greatest example of how to live a godly life, a holy life, have godly influence, and submit to human authority at the same time. As we head on into verses 8 through 12 of chapter 3, we'll see Peter switch the topic just a bit as he goes from what a Christian marriage looks like to what a relationship with our Christian brothers and sisters looks like. Hopefully, as fellow believers, we're all going in the same direction, that of course the direction that Jesus is going, and we need to keep up because he is the one that's on the move. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that it's impossible to live the Christian life and be like-minded with one another without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that same power that rose Jesus from the dead, and that same power that unites us, lives inside of us, and shows us the way. And now in his message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Peter chapter 3 this morning, church, we are in verses 8 to 12. I trust, I hope anyway, that you're a note taker and you'd want to begin to prepare your notes, because one of the things that as we make our way this Sunday and next week through these verses from 8 to 12 is the landing point, the foundation in verse 9. So before we get going, just look a moment at verse 9. There is a statement there, and I'll leave it undone intentionally. He says, Peter does, knowing that you were called to this. He's been giving now 3.5 chapters, I should say, of instruction and encouragement. And the context, church, if you remember, for those of you who are visiting, the context of 1 Peter is all about Peter speaking, writing to the community of the Christian church under the reign of Nero, the emperor of Rome, the infamous Nero, who launched his crusade of attacks to destroy the church. And so by and large, throughout the Roman Empire, Nero had put to flight believers in their particular communities. Imagine for a moment in the state of California, if things broke open to the point where it was declared it's the Christians' fault. That's what Nero did, by the way, you know that. By the way, a little side note, Nero instigated, hired people on a pay list, covert, because he was struggling politically. He was losing popularity among the people. The economy was plummeting in Rome, in the empire. And so what he did was he paid people to go out and burn Rome. And then it got found out, and members of the Roman Senate found out that it had been none other than instigated by Nero, that the Senate began to turn on Nero. So what does a politician do when they get found out? They blame others. Nothing's changed. And Nero blamed the Christian community of the empire. And so imagine if you lived in Rome, or if you lived in Philippi, you might have lived in Thessalonica, maybe you lived in some other area of the empire, and all of a sudden now it was okay to persecute and kill Christians. So now the Christian community is on the run. They're running for their lives. And that's what Peter's writing to, is a people persecuted. And so as we look at this today, we're looking at a gathering that Peter now begins to prepare them based on verse 9. The foundation is, you've got to be ready, church. You're called to not only be submissive to your master if you're a slave, to not only be a good servant to your employer if you're employed, but as men submissive to God and as wives submissive to their husbands. He just goes down this list because there's a pattern to this as a witness. And now he says, if you look at it with me, you saw it in verse 8, he says, finally, finally. And that's now he begins a series of arguments or logic that is very, very good for all of us. I think it's, I personally believe that being in 1 Peter is very prophetic for our life in the 21st century Christian church in America. So today, if you're taking notes, we're looking at a message entitled Power Walk with Jesus. Power Walk with Jesus. The Bible's very clear about this. As we begin to look at this, I want you to write this down in your notes or off to the margins of your Bible. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, listen to this. The Bible there says, then Jesus said to them, that's Peter and Andrew, brothers, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. So James and John were sons of Zebedee, that they were in Zebedee or their father's boat, and they were mending the nets. And it says that he, Jesus, called them. The word called is that he invited them. Jesus simply invited these fishermen, come follow me. And the Bible says in verse 22, immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. God gives invitation. God will never strong arm you. God will never put you in a headlock. God will never make you do anything. He will invite you. And here we have now Peter, who's aged, who decades earlier probably remembered that time when he encountered Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus simply invited him, come and follow me. And he responded to that. And so I think it's in the spirit that Peter is now announcing to the body of Christ in the world to remember that walk, that commitment that you made to follow Jesus. And I want to call it a power walk. Because as Christians today, as believers, and you guys know, I've shared with you enough that I'm struggling with this identity as a Christian. I always have to do Christian now like this because the title Christian has got so many black eyes, and it is so ugly of a term these days because so many things that are said in the name of Christianity is not Christian. People who live godless but on Sunday claim to be Christian. It's very, very discouraging. And so I've been adopting the word follower of Jesus. That's a little bit more exact, right? To be a follower of Jesus. It seems like on Sunday in America, everybody's a Christian, but few are followers of Jesus. But in that spirit, I'm reminding you that to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, is to be somebody that is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. This is not an option. This is not some sort of a suggestion. If we study the Bible, we come away with a clear understanding that those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ will experience supernatural power. And I'm not talking about power to see how high you can jump. I like what Pastor Chuck taught us at Calvary Chapel. He said, God's not interested in how high you can jump. He's interested in how straight you can walk after you land. That's a good word. And to live the Christian life, would you all agree with me? To live the Christian life following Jesus, it is impossible to do apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the person of the Holy Spirit that the follower of Christ is dependent upon to get out of bed, to live the life, to go to bed, and the Spirit of God to keep us all through the night. It's God's Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is in control of your life, then there's going to be certain things pointing that out. Number one, it is this. Look with me in verses 8 and 9. We're talking about the power walk. What are we doing? Where are we going? Number one, we're all going to be going in the same direction. Seems simple, right? Can you jot that down? We're going to be going in the same direction. This is an absolute non-negotiable fact. Don't even raise your hand. If I were to ask you if you're a follower of Jesus, what does that mean? Number one, from the youngest, earliest believer here and now to the oldest saint, to the brand new Christian from last service, to the saint that's in this room that's been walking with Jesus for 60 years. We have this in common from the get-go, is that we're all going in the same direction. Did you know that? The body of Christ, the church, is going in the same direction. You say, well, Jack, I know that this church is going in all kinds of directions. They've got all kinds of views. They've got all kinds of ideas. They're picking what part's the Bible, what's not the Bible. Yes, correct. But I'm talking about real followers of Jesus. I don't care if your building has got a cross or a steeple out on the top of it. I don't care if you're a registered 501c3 Christian organization. It's irrelevant. The fact of the matter is your church, is your family, is your Christianity marked by going in the same direction that God is going? Look, if you're not going in the direction of God, you're not going anywhere. God is going. He's on the move. Somebody asked me on Friday, how you doing? I said, I'm just trying to keep up with Jesus. God's on the move. And God is going in a certain direction. He always is, mind you, always. By the way, this is kind of fun. When we talk about direction, regarding Christianity, Jesus, the Bible says of him that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through him. Does that sound narrow? Oh, that's not only narrow, that's hair's breadth narrow. Yeah, you Christians, you guys are so narrow-minded. We're not narrow-minded enough. Think of it. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. You are not going to make it to heaven unless you come through me. Those are huge words. And then he dies on the cross, and 3 days later is resurrected from the dead. He not only makes the statement, but he qualifies the statement by being your sacrifice on the cross, my sacrifice, and then our justification by being resurrected from the dead. And there's a certain path to this. And when God has control of your life, certain things happen in your life. And I want you to keep this in mind. And I don't know, this may be TMI, right? Too much information. But God has a very, very, very fine point direction that he's on. And he's taking every follower of his with him. Thus, Jesus said, come and follow me. Everything about him, Jesus said, I have come to do his will. Jesus said, I only say those things my Father tells me to say. Isn't it awesome? Think about it. I only do those things that my Father has instructed me to do. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, for example, would get up. He got up in Galilee, and it says that he set his face like flint to Jerusalem because the Spirit of God had an appointment with the Son of God at the cross. The Bible says that when Jesus declared his ministry, the Spirit of God drove him into the Judean wilderness. Very exact. And so you think about direction. It's mightily important. You just can't, as a follower of Jesus, a Christian, make up your own path, your own direction. I'm reminded of the Babylonian calendar, the Babylonian, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the Babylonian, your Bible from Genesis to Revelation is based upon a 360-day calendar. Did you know that? When you look at a year in the Bible, Old and New Testament, when you look at the word year, it's not 365 days, it's 360 days, even out to the book of Revelation. Why? That's actually the true calendar. It's Babylonian, but it's ancient, biblical, from Babylon. And it coincides with a compass. Can someone shout out to me, how many degrees do you have on a compass? Very good, 360. And that is a very specific mode of international navigation, either by water, by land, or by air. You follow a compass. And the Bible is telling us in its own structure that there's only one way. And so when we talk about the same direction, will you mark this down regarding verse 8? That we do this, we're on the same course or the same direction with the same or by the same logos. Write that down, logos. Logos is the Greek word for word. Logos, it's also the word for information. Logos, instruction, information, direction. So mark it down, number one, logos is all important. You say, well, where do you get that out of this study? Well, how do you get that out of verse 8? It's very simple if we look at it. Finally, in other words, summation of all that I've been talking to you since chapter 1, verse 1, he says, all of you be of one mind. You think about that for a moment. How can we all be of one mind? We just got done talking last few weeks about wives in relation to their husbands and how husbands ought to treat their wives. So the question is, Peter, whose mind? That we're all to be under the alignment of one mind, but what mind are we talking about? And obviously, Christian, you know the answer to that. It would be the mind of God. And so as we look at this, note it in your Bible, very, very tiny word, very powerful word. Look at the word be of one mind, be. The word be there means to continue in the same vein or on the same degree or course or compass heading. So he's saying to us finally, hey, all of you in the church, all of you who follow Jesus, get on the exact same frequency or degree of travel regarding the direction that you're in. Christians are to be united. How in the world is that possible? I believe it's impossible unless you go to the Logos, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible. You go to a church without the Bible, what are you doing? You are in a directionless church. If you have a home and the Bible is not the textbook of that home, what do you have? You've got a home that doesn't know what direction it's going. If you get up in the morning and you and I do not consult the direction of God because God wants to speak to us about our day, tomorrow morning when you get up. Now, I had someone tell me very recently, Pastor, I know that you're an early person. Well, I'm any time of the night, day person apparently, but the way my sleep patterns are. But they said, I'm not a morning person. It's hard for me to get going in the morning, but I do all my devotions at night. And that's okay. That's okay. I personally couldn't do that. For this one reason, I'm terrified of getting out of bed in the morning without direction from God because I don't think I'd survive from getting from my bed to the bathroom. I am remarkably able to get myself in trouble. I need God before the day hits me. Are you with me? So a devotion at night is cute, but a devotion in the morning is essential. And so, I need to get dressed with his word. And so why? What are we talking about the Logos? The Logos is the information of God. The Bible tells us that even Jesus Christ himself is the Logos, the very word of God. The Bible says that the word of God became flesh and he, personal pronoun, dwelt, lived, moved, walked among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus. God's word became skin to show us the way. By the way, friends, there was no Jesus before Jesus. There's no Jesus after Jesus. There's only one Jesus, and it's the Jesus of the Bible. It's the Jesus of Scripture, the Bible. And he's going to point you and lead you in the way, the Logos of God. So when he says, finally, all of you, he's calling us to be united. And this is the only way we can be united, around the Word of God. Somebody will say, well, unity is the most important thing. It's the most important thing. It's not the most important thing. You have to have a cause to unite around. And what is the cause that the Christian unites around is none other than the Logos of God, the Word of God. That is our tell-all. That the Word of God is our monitor. It is our propulsion system. It is our guidance system, the Bible. That's why you hear so much about the Bible here. Without the Bible, we are lost. And so we look to the Logos of God. And then he says regarding one mind, a unified mind. So the word mind is the word harmony. It's an interesting word. It means to be in agreement. It means to be harmonious. The word can be translated to hit the same note at the same time or the same note at the right time. It kind of speaks of a conductor leading. And you think about the Holy Spirit regarding the Bible and how it works in your life. And listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 2, verses 12 and 16 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. So I want to ask you, where's the world going? What's the world doing? Well, we've not received that spirit, but it says we've received the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. The Bible tells us there in verse 12 that God gives us his Holy Spirit. And if you're a believer, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ today, the Holy Spirit governs your life internally. Now watch this. Verse 16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Well, the answer to that is nobody. You cannot know the mind of God. Just, we have to stop guessing. Oh, God, how come? We ask, why this? Even if he told you and I, we wouldn't get it. We couldn't comprehend it. Who has known the mind of the Lord and who has become his instructor or his counselor? And you throw your arms up, it's like, surrender, nobody. He's alone in that. But look what the next statement is. But we have the mind of Christ. You say, what, is this devil talk? No, church, listen. The way that you and I, please listen carefully, especially if you're 30 years of age or younger, it's a bonus for you. You and I do not always know what to do. We do not have all the answers. How do we get the answers? We go to God's word. So for some of us, we lived long enough as a non-Christian that we can give testimony to the damage that we did to our own lives in making our own decisions. Remember when we were the Lord of our lives? We decided what we would do. It was me, myself, and I. It was a majority, and we all agreed. Listen, like you, I, each of us, we were legends in our own mind. It's all about us. And we lived our lives, and we lived our lives without God, and it didn't go well. And then God gets a hold of us, and there's a complete change in who the governor is of your life, and the Holy Spirit takes over, and he moves inside of you, the Bible says, which I think is amazing, because I know some people feel things when the Holy Spirit, when they pray to receive Christ, some people say they feel something. I never felt a thing. If you felt something, that's fantastic. I didn't feel anything when I accepted Christ. I just realized within an hour, my mind, the way my mind thought was changing. The thoughts I used to approve of in 1 hour after I accepted Christ, my thoughts now were disapproving of my thoughts. And it was later, because I didn't understand theology. I didn't know what the Bible said. It was later that I discovered that that's the Holy Spirit in you. Can you bear witness of that logos that's within you? The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will use the word of God in your life as a believer. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Church, does that, am I too excited over this by myself? Look at that verse. Are you kidding me? Let this mind. The Bible says you can have a new mind.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, our prayer is that you reach out to others and show the same love that Jesus has shown in your life. Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Peter says we can set ourselves apart from the world by filling our minds and hearts with the Word of God. And it's exactly why Pastor Jack offers weekly devotions on his website that he himself personally wrote. Each one includes a Bible verse and some thoughts that relate to that specific verse. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab labeled Devotions. There are also previous devotions that you can tap into and enjoy every day of the week. Again, you'll find devotions at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.